America stands at a pivotal moment, torn between competing visions of its future. The Democrat Party Hates America presents a provocative thesis. The modern Democratic Party has fundamentally transformed from its historical roots into something unrecognizable, an entity that actively undermines constitutional governance and traditional American values. This transformation didn't happen overnight, but represents decades of strategic institutional infiltration following the philosophical blueprints of figures like Antonio Gramsci, Herbert Marcuse, and Saul Alinsky. Their long march through institutions strategy encouraged radicals to populate and transform cultural institutions from within. Education, media, entertainment, religious organizations, to fundamentally restructure society while maintaining a facade of democratic process. What makes this particularly effective is that it operates as a top-down movement. Party leaders implement radical policies despite public resistance, expanding government control over healthcare, education, energy production, and private enterprise. Each intervention leads to declining individual liberty while empowering what has effectively become an unaccountable fourth branch of government, the administrative state, where career bureaucrats operate without meaningful checks or consequences. The Democratic Party's relationship with racial issues has undergone a remarkable evolution. During the Civil War era, the party was deeply connected to slavery, the KKK, segregation, and Jim Crow laws. Confederate leaders were predominantly Democrats, and later President Woodrow Wilson reversed racial progress by resegregating federal departments. This party successfully rebranded as a civil rights champion through several developments: the passing of older Black Americans who remembered the party of Lincoln, devastation from the Great Depression, Black migration to northern Democratic-controlled cities, and limited benefits from New Deal programs despite the administration's racist elements. Crucially, Democrats redefined civil rights in economic terms, establishing socialist policies while dismantling constitutional barriers. Roosevelt's proposed Second Bill of Rights promised guaranteed employment, income, housing, health care, and education, entitlements remarkably similar to those in Stalin's 1936 Soviet Constitution. Today's Democratic Party has shifted from historical anti-Black racism to what critics call anti-white ideology and institutional anti-Semitism. This framework applies Marxist class struggle theory to America's racial dynamics, claiming America's economic foundation deliberately exploits people of color to benefit white Americans. This ideological shift appears in concrete policies. The Biden administration has implemented executive orders mandating equity rather than equality across federal agencies, creating explicitly race-based exclusions in government relief programs. During COVID relief distribution, the Small Business Administration prioritized businesses owned by those deemed socially and economically disadvantaged, effectively disadvantaging white-owned businesses regardless of their economic circumstances. Simultaneously, anti-Semitism has evolved within this neo-Marxist ideology, often portraying Jews as members of the white oppressor class despite Judaism's history of persecution. Related policy decisions include withholding military support for Israel during attacks, enabling Iran's nuclear ambitions, and bypassing legislation that would block funding to Palestinian organizations supporting terrorism. Totalitarian systems have always understood that controlling language means controlling thought. Today, fundamental concepts of language, science, and knowledge are being strategically redefined to reshape understanding. The climate change narrative exemplifies this. Every weather event is attributed to climate change, justifying unprecedented government control over products, energy, and economic systems. This manufactured urgency creates an environment where there's no time to evaluate past climate predictions or examine alternatives. Scientists questioning these narratives face censorship or public denunciation. During COVID-19, we witnessed this dynamic directly. Democrat-governed states implemented severe civil liberties restrictions while mandating masks and social distancing. Later, Cochrane Library studies found masks didn't clearly reduce community viral infections, while Johns Hopkins researchers concluded lockdowns had little to no public health effects, despite causing enormous economic damage. Most troubling was the revelation of a public-private censorship infrastructure, where government agencies sent thousands of coordinated censorship requests to social media platforms. The Biden administration paid Twitter $3.4 million for processing requests while coordinating with academic institutions to censor even factually accurate information that might cause vaccine hesitancy. What does it mean to be American? Citizenship establishes the relationship between individuals and state, granting rights and responsibilities that unite people around common values. Yet, a divide exists between public and elite views on national identity. Average citizens value societal security and traditional patterns of language, culture, and identity, while many elites prioritize global governance over American nationalism. This divide manifests in immigration policy. Critics argue the Biden administration's border approach has created a humanitarian crisis while enriching Mexican cartels, whose trafficking revenues reportedly rose from $500 million in 2018 to $13 billion today, according to Homeland Security investigations. FAIR estimates public schools spend over $78 billion educating illegal immigrants and their children, with more than 10% of students now designated as limited English proficiency. Border Patrol reports increased criminal non-citizen arrests under the current administration. Historically, the Democratic Party opposed illegal immigration. In 1994, Harry Reid proposed doubling border patrols, while labor unions, including Cesar Chavez's United Farm Workers, opposed illegal immigration as undermining American workers' wages, a stance largely forgotten as priorities shifted. Marx advocated abolishing the family structure and replacing parental guidance with state priorities, a strategy that continues to influence modern political movements. The breakdown of the nuclear family creates electoral advantages. Married women tend to vote Republican, 56%, while unmarried women predominantly vote Democrat, 68%. This trend has grown significant as marriage rates have declined from 80% of households in 1950 to under 50% today. Efforts to separate children from parental influence have intensified. When House Republicans passed a Parents' Bill of Rights Act, every Democrat opposed it. President Biden stated that school children don't belong to parents when they're in the classroom, revealing a concerning view on parental rights. Public schools increasingly promote ideologies teaching that America was founded as a racist nation and that institutions maintain white dominance, extending beyond history into English, science, and mathematics. Democrats obstruct school choice alternatives like charter schools despite their proven success for minority children, prioritizing teachers' unions over educational outcomes. America's founders created a system dividing federal power while protecting state and individual liberties. Those seeking to fundamentally transform America must bypass these constitutional obstacles to centralize power. The modern assault takes multiple forms: proposals to gut First Amendment protections on political speech, Department of Homeland Security efforts to police misinformation, campaigns to co-opt or destroy the Supreme Court when it doesn't advance progressive agendas, and attacks on the Electoral College through schemes like the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Most concerning is the weaponization of government power against political opponents. The unprecedented legal pursuit of Donald Trump represents what Justice Neil Gorsuch might recognize as the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in peacetime history. When the justice system becomes a weapon against rivals while protecting allies who commit similar violations, we've crossed a dangerous threshold. What's at stake isn't just policy disagreements, but the fundamental nature of American governance, the transformation from a constitutional republic to a centralized administrative state. Voters face a choice about what kind of country to preserve for future generations.